August 18, 2010, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Juan from Pedro Show, August 18th, 2010. It's a Wednesday, miércoles.
Yeah.
Brother Matt, how you doing?
Excellent, excellent. Welcome back.
Good to see you again. Yeah, I'm home for a week. We started off with Baya, something live from Thelonious Monk when he had John Coltrane in the band. I think 1959? Got my memory.
Get some ambulance shit down.
Yeah, we got the traffic because people are coming home, even though it ain't a weekend. There we go. And then we heard Million Rainbows by Light. My brother's in Tokyo. I'm going to be touring with them in October for my third opera, Hyphenated Man. I'm going to go to Ventura and Master tomorrow with John Golden. I've been working with John Golden for since early 80s. Oh, that new alliance and Brother Matt, I saw a bunch of fences and stuff here.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
They're doing construction at Land's End?
They took that parking lot at the very end, yeah. And they're turning it into some kind of a park. Nobody knows who.
Tiny
who,
park?
Some little tiny park. It's like nobody's going to know it's there. Nobody's going to go there. There's not going to be any place to park if you want to go there. And nobody knows who's putting this thing together, but it's going
it's
forward.
Like somebody named O'Neill's building it because that's what's on the signs.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're just.
Brother Matt, we got a guest today. Oh, yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off there, so it's a mystery.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's another Joan Milky Forest part. We have a guest, Brother Matt, somebody from your old days.
Yeah, welcome.
Hey, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. Thank you both for having me and for putting up with my getting stuck in traffic.
Oh, no problem. Lisa Derrick in the house.
Yeah. At the radio station?
Yeah, back at KXLU days.
Yeah, that's right. But I was on the little teeny 10-watt, and you were on the big one.
Yeah, those were the days.
It was a lot of fun at KXLU. A lot of good people came out of there. And Stella's still on the air.
Yeah, Stella rocks.
Straight pop.
Yeah. Going strong.
Definitely. And you're still doing radio. This is an impressive setup you've got here in your massive love pad.
Love grotto. See on the
yeah, it's a overhead grotto. It is definitely. It's a very, very groovy grotto.
Yeah, we like it comfortable around here.
Oh, it's beyond comfortable. Pedro is an awesome place. I have to say, I've been spending some time down here. I saw Watt play at Harold's for the fundraiser to get the band's a PA. I'm gonna
they
be
got
out
it too.
Yay.
Jay Brown
helped
it out, and I think they used it at a gig last week.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Well, I'm gonna be up in Humboldt this week, otherwise I'd be down on the 20th to see Sylvia Giancosa play there. So but I'm going up to Humboldt to meet a bunch of growers and talk to them about Prop 19, which is the legalization of marijuana initiative, which is on the ballot coming up in November. And the cool thing about California is you can vote without having to get out of bed. All you have to do is, they call it an absentee ballot, which makes it sound like you're a flake and you can't get there, but it's a mail-in ballot. You can just fill it out, mail it in, and
yeah,
vote.
Totally convenient.
Totally convenient, and everyone should get registered and vote, whether, you know, just because that way you can, you have a right to complain if you voted. And hopefully this initiative will pass. It'll keep a lot of people out of prison. And
you don't think it's important right not to vote? I mean, some countries fine you if you don't vote.
Well, we have the option to vote or not vote, and there's times when like voting no is an option or not voting to make a statement. But if you vote and you don't make a statement, then kind of you're defeating the purpose of democracy. But I don't think you should be fined if you don't vote either. Like,
well, if you don't agree with the choices.
If you don't agree with the choices, then, you know, yes and
I'm
no.
I'm just playing advocate here.
Yeah. You're playing a wicked advocate, Mike Watt.
No, I think it's pretty simple.
You could vote for nobody because nobody costs nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
This is an option to vote as opposed to just sitting out.
Yeah, there should be none of the above, I think, would be a good one. A vote of no confidence.
They just get different people to
choice?
Go to.
I think that's what a write-in is, if you just write in none of the above. But it might be a campaign option. Sometimes some people register in the other party and vote against the front runner, which is a way to subvert the system. in a primary election.
Strategies.
Strategies. But I think legalization of marijuana is an important initiative for a lot of different reasons, not just because people like to smoke pot. It'll also keep people out of prison. It'll help cut down on the prison economy that runs California and will help people, you know, the three strikes law is a brute. If you have 1 gram over an ounce, that's a felony strike. So, fingers crossed. And there's, you know, it's not just people who smoke pot that are for the idea of legalization. It's judges, moms, law enforcement officers. There's a big coalition. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a radical thing. It's also a states' rights issue, states versus federal government. So we'll see what happens with that.
Worthy cause.
I hope so. I was in Copenhagen. I just got back last night, and I unfortunately didn't have the option to go over to Christian. Have you ever been there, Mike?
Oh, yeah. They closed down all that stuff.
They closed it down?
Where they used to sell Motown and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's still a working commune. Is it?
They want the land.
Yeah, it's that big old abandoned Air Force.
No. Copenhagen's an island, so it's a finite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I played Roskilde. That's near there. And I played some in hockey rink last two times. Mm-hmm. I've been there.
You played a lot of islands.
Denmark's a good country.
Yeah. You played, I saw you in Stockholm in the rain, which was an intense experience.
I was at a park.
Yeah, that was outdoors in a park in Stockholm, outside of...
I played the Globe in there, the big arena, mm-hmm. Norma Dome. It has a mall in it.
Wow.
Yeah. And, we drove the boat right in. How big this pad was.
Wow.
But it wasn't big enough for one of the trucks. Read the diary. It was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Hit my head with the tuning key of my bass. It's intense. I gave myself a
divot.
And that was interesting. That's when I was flying back. I was doing Missing Man gigs and Stooges gigs at the same time, and flying back and forth.
Wow.
Missing Men are right now with Lou Barlow out, I think, Washington, D.C. They're playing tonight. And they'll get home the 6th of September. I get home the 4th. Last four Stooges gigs of the year. So Stooges will start touring again in January, the big day out in Australia. Mm-hmm. I heard might be planned. It'll be my third one.
Cool.
Yeah. Interesting land there. You ever been there?
No, I haven't. Yeah. I have not been.
It's like summertime down there then, huh?
Yeah, January, summer.
Yeah. Time for the sunblock, definitely.
It's like the size of U.S. without Alaska and maybe half the people of Cali.
And they're all around the rim, pretty much.
Yeah, but the outback's kind of rough. There's some people living there. There's mining and stuff. And most of it's in the... I don't know, southeast. There's one big west town, Perth. I think it's the most isolated town, big city. Mm-hmm. And Indian Ocean. And there's one northern town that's not as big as the other five, but it's called Darwin, but it's really by the equator. And I'd like to visit there one day. Supposedly very tropical. The most north I've been is Brisbane, and that was pretty sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Coast, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide. I think Adelaide's the only one that wasn't built with prison labor. Interesting place. So a lot of good music. A lot of trippy animals that only live there.
And there's egg-laying mammals, which are incredible.
Platypus.
The platypus, the echidna.
Yeah.
And the really cute pangolin, which has like spiky little scales. It looks like one of those sow bugs, except it has four legs, and they lay eggs.
Oh,
and
trippy.
It's just, it's a strange thing what isolation can do. But that's That's what formed Darwin's theory of evolution, was the idea of isolation. Huh. Galapagos.
Hey, Brother Twan.
What's happening?
We're doing a Watt from Pedro show. Welcome aboard. This
Hi,
is Lisa Derrick.
I'm Lisa. Nice to meet you. Hey. Nice to see you.
Yeah, Pangaea is like when all the continents were connected.
Yeah, the mass before
and,
the drift.
I guess Australia was
plate
broke
tectonics.
Off.
Tectonics.
And the people there, too, I think is the longest.
The Abos?
Yeah, the longest civilization running. Mm. Pretty amazing people. Very sad history, though, you know, sort of like native people here. Aborigine means first people.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Japan, I knew.
The OGs.
They're all over these. Yeah, the OGs. They took blows. I got to meet some, though. And for Papyrus, that came on stage and played didgeridoo.
Oh, cool. You got a bunch of trippies. You got Bull Roarer.
And the art, too. The art's little speckles and stuff because it's...
But that's... It's,
because they're looking down.
Yeah,
they're walking on the
time.
Astral.
Yeah,
dream time. Astral plane. Interesting folks. I was in... the Stooges did a lot of Scandinavian. I was in Sweden a second time. Way Out West Festival.
That was an... Oh, my gosh. That and show was so freaking awesome, Watt.
That one wasn't raining.
No.
Sonosphere was raining. And J.R., I hadn't seen for a few years, this cat from Alabama. You know, you don't hear the Alabama accent so much in western part of Sweden. That town, Gothenburg, is the home of Oval. Like Swedish Detroit, I guess. But a lot of nature.
Mm-hmm. The park,
a little different.
The park was beautiful. And it was the show that I saw playing there was very, because it was a dry show, so
it was threatening. The skies are gray.
Yeah, but it was just, it was a classic Iggy show because he could get out into the crowd. And
well, they had a big pit.
Yeah.
Sometimes divide, like the other Swedish show, a big corridor to divide the crowd so you can't move laterally. But this one was like a big pit, so he was like in there by himself. It was very trippy. Next to our dressing room was the singer of the Jam. I got to meet him.
Paul Wells?
Very nice man, yeah. I, you know, I saw the Whiskey Jam gig in, I don't know, 1970. I told him, he goes, is that place still open? I said, yeah, it's pay to play. You know? But that was a great gig. But I didn't really know, I didn't see him after, you know, and I didn't keep up with that music. And but I really liked that album when they're in the bathroom tiles behind him. And he came out and played and some piano and just singing and all this trippy stuff. It was good. I didn't know any of the song. He played one song from that old stuff, first album, and he had some of the other guys sing a lot of it. It was trippy. But all this other stuff I wasn't familiar with, but he did really great, and he's a nice man. He spoke with me. And, anyway, J.R. was there, a friend of mine. I think he saw me first when he was 16 in Murfreesboro. He's from northern Alabama. We went, drove up to Tennessee, and they got in a wreck. There's caravan, right? Two cars. So one of the cars gets in a wreck, two of the guys have to go to the hospital. The other two guys got in the other car and came to the gig. And he's spending 6 months there, 6 months back home. And he's got a band called Alabamica and a new CD out. So let's listen to some
cool.
of that. Yeah. Live from Pedro Show, you just heard, what's it called? Hall on the Bowline. Bowline, really. Bowline.
Boa constrictor.
No, bow is the front part of a boat.
I know that, Watt. And I know that port is left because it has four letters.
Right. That's how I remember it.
And, yeah, because some things are spelled like coxswain and forecastle, right? Forecastle, forecastle. You got changed sailors talking. Mm-hmm. And that was Ronaldo and the loaf. And Mr. Chris there from Position Normal flowed me that and said this band had the hugest effect on his view of music. And how he makes it and all this. And so I thought that was worthy inspiration. And he, on YouTube, you can see some of their video. There's some very disturbing videos these cats made. Ronaldo and the Loaf. Reynaldo. Not Ronaldo.
Check it out.
Yeah, videos. Very bizarre, trippy stuff. And they were influenced by the Residents and went and came and saw them and ended up on the label and stuff. And trippy. Before that, we had a cat from San Pedro named Mark Pepper. This is songs at least picked up. That Old Black Magic. And then Sylvia Jankowski before that would Lick My Pussy, Eddie Van Halen. I remember she used to do that at gigs when she was playing here in the old days. A Light That Never Comes On by Fucked Up. Damien was at the Oya Festival. So was the Happy Tom. There's No More Turbo Negro. So I guess Hank the singer is going to be a movie star or something. So Happy Tom has a PBS talk show. And Euroboy, who made through some cancer, he's a great guitarist, and his hero is James Williamson. He got to meet him. So that was great. See this cat. And we started off with First Time I Went to Jail by Alabamica for JR. And it was so good to see him. A surprise. You never know on those festivals you run into. A lot of times I don't get around, especially now with my knee like that. I don't get around. Man, especially airport. That's the place where I got around the most because I had to, and very slow, merit much time.
A little buggy for you, huh?
No, I didn't want to do that. My leg is already atrophying some, you know. See how much I can pinch there in this one? It's getting like put.
No pain.
I come over
atrophying.
So
I want to use it, but I want to heal too, so I don't want to overuse it. So I don't do the wheelchair or the buggy thing.
Are you like clenching and releasing your muscles when you sit, just sort of like how girls do Kegel exercises? Like, is that, you know, like,
no,
just like, you know, the main thing is like isometrics and stuff.
This is walking and stuff, but
right.
I have to keep it all stiff. So if I'm going to work on it like that, like a therapy thing, it's just sit on the deck and just try to lift your heel, because that's the muscles that you're using. See that?
Yeah.
See how that's going?
Yeah, I can actually see.
Well, this ligament is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't do it with this one.
Yeah.
See? Problem.
Yep. But you.
So when I do gigs, I'm going to be flat-footed. It's been 5 weeks. When I flew over the handlebars 6 years ago and hurt this arm, these tendons, that was 10 weeks. That was 6 years ago. When you're less young, you heal slower. There's a tag on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Domoku. Domo. Mm-hmm. He lives in a cave.
He's very popular.
Chris-san told me the whole story about him. Yeah. I keep forgetting to look.
I have to say, I default to Hello Kitty mode. I freaking love Hello Kitty. Hello Kitty is so cute.
God, I really hate it.
Oh, yeah.
Mindless. The one that I like.
See, and like, this is like, I called you and I'm like, what, Mike, what should I bring down? You're like, nothing too mersh. I'm like, oh no, that's my entire collection.
I don't know. It's okay. I mean, very
popular. I've got some Madonna on here.
The character I like there is Rirakuma, the relaxed bear. The story is very interesting. It's very mysterious. He lives in this apartment with the office lady. He's a Kirigumi. Kirigumi is a cosplay wear outfits, mm-hmm. and because he's got a zipper in the back. But supposedly, the creature inside kind of looks like him. Now he's got a partner, Kori Rakuma, who's got a button sewn on the front, but there's no zipper on the back. And then there's a third one, Kiwaitori, which is a little yellow bird. These three hang out, you know, and he's kind of the, you know, get to work and clean up and disciplinarian or something. Mm-hmm. Rirakuma just wants to lay around, you know, and the office lady has a pillow that he's always want to conk on. He eats his hot cakes. Actually, the government has done a campaign using him on a poster to get people to take some time off of too much intense work. And
chill.
You can see why this lady came up with the concept, or the whole story, the characters. And, the stress of that society, you know, I can see it. Maybe some over here, too. I need to be like Rirakuma. I'm very busy lately. But this whole thing, you know, of the character inside, you know, when you, some of them, these dolls you can buy, the zipper actually goes down and there's like some blue and white polka dot thing in there, you know, out pajamas or something, I don't know what the fuck. And the head's a little big, so you can tell like it's fitting over. But maybe it's not, it's just very mysterious. And Kori Rakuma looks like him. But she's smaller, and her head isn't proportionally bigger. Yeah, but this button sewn on, that's a trip. She likes to pull pranks on him and stuff. She loves listening to music, so she's always putting headphones on him and stuff when he's trying to conk. And there's one great one, graphic where, you know, he's laying there, and she's on his back, just sprawled out, and... in the Nihongo, it says, "Are you comfortable?" Sprawled. I mean, totally sprawled. And then there's different, I guess like calendars, you know, with the ladies and the bathing suits. Mm-hmm. But this is all Rirakuma in different positions of him conked, you know, like drool coming out on the side. You know, for worker bee colony. Kind of paradigm. I find it interesting. The Hello Kitty, I guess there's a story. She's got an England boyfriend or something. Somebody was trying to tell me. But
I don't know her plot line, but I just think she's so... Before she became so pop culture and so mainstream and like where you can see her everywhere, she was just so adorable and mysterious. And when I was in...
Kauai, they say.
In Sweden, I was walking down the side street in Stockholm, and there was a whole store with all this Hello Kitty stuff, completely different from what we could get here. And there was like Hello Kitty mermaids and things. And she's just, I think one of the reasons she's so iconographic is that we can project our own stuff onto her. Just we look at her and can project onto her. And that's one of... The things about certain characters is that cartoon characters are always sort of trapped between a moment that happens and a moment that has happened. Like when Bugs Bunny runs off a cliff or the coyote and he looks, he falls. But if you don't look, you could probably get to the other side. And there's just that moment and that tension. But Hello Kitty is really like... We used to joke with Marie Montgomery, who was on KXLU with you, that Hello Kitty looked like the Dalai Lama. She's just so placid.
Yeah, not flaccid.
Yeah. Speaking of flaccid,
I'm not into
Yeah.
They have a lot of characters there. A lot of their marketing, when you get a new drink or something, mm-hmm. they come up with a creature. And
not
weigh in on this. You know about any of this crap, Twan?
No. A little bit about Hello Kitty. I got a bunch of free items once.
Oh, yeah, those Hello Kitty stools.
She had a friend who used to work for Hello Kitty. She worked for, like, some of the top executives. And the company became, like, a $1 billion company.
Mm-hmm.
And $1 billion selling the shit.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing. So she gave me a whole bunch of Hello Kitty chairs, and I just gave them away to kids.
Wow.
I gave them to one of Bro Matt's neighbors. I gave one of them, anyway. Turned out to be a real freak neighbor, too.
Really?
Yeah, she grew up. She's a little girl now. She's just completely fucking...
Well, a little girl's still cool, but,
Well.
Parents are trippy.
So what's up with Hyphenated Man?
I master tomorrow.
You master tomorrow? And how many tracks are on that now?
It's one big song.
One big song.
Yeah, in 30 parts. Brother Matt, what were you doing when I was gone?
Going
anywhere?
No, I'm going to be going to Alaska.
Going to Alaska.
Yeah, but otherwise it's just been kind of the Pedro deal. I had a month of work that's over now. Now I got another month off. And we had Taste of San Pedro last week. And just
what
been
was that
hanging.
Like?
It was kind of typical.
Same deal.
There's
going to be some Pedro band thing.
Yeah, coming up in two or 3 weeks. Tri-art.
Yeah. Do you know anything about that?
I know you're playing on Saturday.
Yeah, it was Raul and Kid Kibben got me part of that. I forgot all about it. It was months ago. But it's also with music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dancing.
Yeah.
Music
down
and dance.
Down between 5th and 6th Street or... Yeah, on the 11th and 12th, September 11th and 12th, I think.
Okay.
Saturday, Sunday.
With Taste of San Pedro, was there food, too?
Oh, yeah.
Croatian food and then the Portuguese food.
No, it's restaurants.
Your local restaurants.
Yeah, so a lot of the restaurants, not all of them, like there wasn't on Taste or any of the Croatian spots weren't set up.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a booth. You got to buy tickets and you mm-hmm. do a little trade. The coolest thing is a Ferris wheel right on the edge of the cliff.
Wow.
I didn't get on there this year. Usually I go with my nephew just to, like, for cover because I want to get on there. But it's like you're looking, spinning right down, looking 200 feet down the cliff. It's really bitching.
Wow.
You know what's scary about what Ferris wheels is when they're getting people on and off and you're at the top
and
waiting and the thing's swinging.
Looking down on that carny working the thing.
Yeah, the wing nuts.
I keep thinking of that movie, I think it was 1941 with John Belushi.
Yeah.
There's a Ferris wheel scene where it pops off the spindle and the fucking thing just rolls. And I envision that fucking Ferris wheel doing that right off the fucking edge of the cliff.
Oh, man.
I forget about it.
Yeah, Ferris wheels are about as thrill ride as I get. I went into Tivoli Gardens when in Copenhagen, and it had been pouring rain the night I got there, so they didn't have the fireworks. And all the rides were shut down, but the streets were just glowing with reflected light. It was so beautiful. And when I came back, I popped over to Horsens to see U2 play and came back. I watched people ride the rides. And it's just, by that time, after being in the mosh pit at Iggy and 56,000 people at U2, I just didn't need to get re-chiropracted on rides. But they have some really cool, like, loop-de-loops and swings and stuff. And I love a good carny ride, as long as the carnies have more teeth than less. You know, they get kind of scary sometimes, those carnies. It's sort of. But Tivoli Gardens is beautiful. Have you ever been in there, Mike?
No.
No?
There's Tivoli's all over.
Yeah.
There's a club called Tivoli in Utrecht. Yeah.
It's what inspired Walt Disney to make Disneyland, actually. Oh. So... blown away by it, and
that castle's in Bavaria.
Was the Snow White's castle? I mean, Sleeping Beauty castle.
Yeah, that's in Disneyland that they use for motif. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in Bavaria. I drove by it once on tour. You're talking about Sweden, right? No, Copenhagen.
Copenhagen, Denmark. Yeah. So Tivoli was the inspiration for him.
No, there's Tivolis all over the place though, but that one in particular.
Yeah, that specific Tivoli Garden. It was built in 1843, it inspired Hans Christian Andersen for the Emperor's Garden in The Nightingale's Tale. And then Walt Disney went over and saw it and thought, oh, something like this would be great for Southern California. And it's rides and very family-oriented, and there's like a little Chinese area, and there's a little gaming area. And that just then Then we got Disneyland, and now there's Disneylands everywhere. So it's but it was remarkable just to, it was me, three other people, and a security guard in this massive park, and all of a sudden there was classical music, so I went over to where it was, and the water fountains were spraying, and there was a laser show and smoke, and it was just me watching it. It was a really magical experience.
Bitchin'.
Yeah. I felt, the whole trip was really spectacular to see the kinds of stuff that I saw just by happenstance. Mm. Pure happenstance. It's miraculous. You know, it must be what you feel like on a regular basis on tour when you encounter all kinds of strange and beautiful things. Just the luck of what we do. And
yeah, I was almost killed. The stage in Finland almost fell on me. A big storm cell came out of nowhere. We were about to go on, and I was already up there, and that was a nightmare. Yeah. Luckily, this young Finnish security guy came up and got me off. I couldn't get off the stage. Everybody ran, and it was like the trees were sideways. It was tense.
Wow.
Wrecked the stage.
No shit.
It was all buckling, all the stuff. The Motley Crue props were all falling, and yeah, it was pretty tense.
Yeah.
And when I was in Moscow, the air was choking up, so much fires. It was 100 degrees. They're having a heat wave there. I was thinking when that shit, because it blew out. In a half hour, it was sunny. The thing was rolling, and I was thinking, man, I just keep going east and get over to Russia, because those people, but when we were there, there was 800 fires burning.
Wow.
One guy, my boss, a general of the base, just bailed. 200 planes got burned up. Military thing.
Yep. Yeah, the trees that have grown up around Chernobyl are burning, and that's releasing radiation. Oh. And it's a bad scene. And the temperature's dropped a little bit, but they need that thunderstorm that you had. Mm. They need a massive amount of rain, and it's pretty. I mean, the world's pretty messed up environmentally. It's painful to see.
Yeah, so my point was, like, everything that comes up on touring always really special and neat. Sometimes it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Brother Matt, did you show have you seen that video taken from the stage?
No, I was telling him about it.
Oh, it's fucking wicked cool. Some YouTube video somebody put up. They were, you know, a bunch of people were on stage dancing while you guys are jamming. The sound quality really is shitty, but
you hear
thumping, man, just thumping, and it's just so fucking hectic. It's somebody with like a camera, iPhone or something. It's
really
bitchy. All of a sudden, there's Watt's face, and he comes dancing through the crowd. It's cool. I don't know.
Yeah, somebody who was up
probably
on stage.
Shake Appeal. Yeah,
was Shake Appeal.
Come on up.
Yeah, Shake Appeal, and I don't know what the city that was in, but it's really cool.
Yeah.
It was great to see you up there, Watt. And just the amount of love that you got. And for me, being in the crowd and walking around, I saw Germs t-shirts, I saw Flipper t-shirts, I saw Black Flag t-shirts in every city I was in. And especially like to realize how iconic and universal Black Flag's appeal is, and how it really, SST resonated with the music that they had on the labels from the Minutemen, and then what you did with New Alliance onwards. And it really inspired a lot of people to do their own thing and create their own art and move it along. And that's one thing that you're always encouraging people to do, Mike, is to, you know, find their dream, chase their dream, and make it happen. Start a band in whatever form that is, whether you're...
That was kind of Dee Boone's idea, I hear it.
Well,
he said one band for every block.
Well, you carry that on, and, you know. It's an inspiration for me to see Dee Boone's picture on your bass when you're up on stage. That means a lot. It means a lot.
This one here, I got Ronnie on this Dan bass. There's going to be a new bass for me.
Tell us about it.
James Williamson's making me a bass.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to play in Atlantic City next week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Hope it's a good one.
I'm going to ask the girl questions. What color is it?
He asked me what color, and I said, make it like this, you know, the one I play now.
Okay.
It's kind of like it, but it's got things. A man named Brian Michael, who built his replica of his Leopard Lady one. So it's going to be interesting. We're at the end of the first hour. Lot from Pedro Show, August 18, 2010. Hold tight for hour two. August 18, 2010. It's the second hour of the Lot from Pedro Show. Juan from Pedro Show started second hour off with Tenco doing Passing Through the Night. I saw some Tenco from a couple months ago, a video in New York City, just alone. And it's not music. She said, you know, it's a performance. And it was really personable, to say the least. Jim Rock told me she makes tofu now, but still making music. Unexpected Event by Sons and Mothers. After that, that's got Masa from Culture Shock, his new band. And then Part-Time Ninja by Cutmaster Kurt. He's got the turntable technique. And we're going to turn that now over to Brother Matt.
Keep it alive. I'm not going to do that. We'll be right back.
Brother Matt, thank you so much.
Cool, cool.
Another righteous space cycle. What was on your mind? What was your motivation?
It's kind of like just plugging into my head the sounds that I've been hearing the past couple of weeks, past month or so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I went up to King King the other night. Checked out Hayoka. That was pretty fun.
King King's still happening.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty fun. No, it was on Sunset.
The old King King I knew was on La Brea and the Six.
Yeah.
It's moved.
Wow. Well, that was many years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
back.
Just west of La Brea on 6th Street.
Yeah.
It was cool. They had good sound in there, so that was cool. So here's lots of Hioka and some Vibe Squad and some other acid crunk stuff.
That was beautiful,
West
man.
Coast
that
sounds. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice fat wop.
Ladies, now, we got into a little bit when we started the show, but you and Brother Matt, we're both at KXLU over here at Loyola Marymount.
Yes. I actually decided when I was told either I had to go to college or get a job to go to Loyola because I loved KXLU. I was listening to it and I was like, wow, if they have such a cool radio station, there's probably got to be three or four people I can relate to who go to school there. And I was right. I made lifelong friends there. Matt, who I haven't seen for years. I met you, Mike, through somebody at Loyola, Maria Montgomery, who I'm still friends with, because her boyfriend at the time was friends with you, and you actually played his graduation party in at a house in Lomita in the backyard, the Minutemen did.
Splat Winger was a DJ. Was he at...
He was up there same time.
Yeah, he was. You would start out on the 10 watt, which was the one I was on, and then if you were good enough and could manage your air checks, which was a little too many buttons for me.
Brain Cookies.
Yeah.
Right, was his show.
Mm-hmm.
And you could matriculate up to where Stella at Stray Pop still is, where Brother Matt was, where Maria was, and they'd start you out at a midnight shift, midnight to 2 once a week, and then eventually you could move into more drive timey things, and your shows were always a lot of fun. And another friend of ours, Bill Lakoff, was also on the air then. Billy Club.
I remember first time I met you in about 1982 or 83. Mary Raven had like this organ eaten from a dumpster in a movie. Uh-huh. I was watching a movie. Remember that? Speaking of Splatwinger.
Yeah.
Speaking of disturbing videos earlier.
Yeah, it was for my filmmaking class. We had to make music videos, and I did one to Los Angeles by X, and I made my mom drive me around town, and I had a little video camera, and I just shot whatever I could, and I had like some little girl taking a pee by a tree, and people eating out of dumpsters, and then I did one with Splatwinger to Just Like a Woman by Bob Dylan, where he changed from being like, you know, a Pedro guy in his OP t-shirt and a pair of jeans into a woman, and like he got put on makeup and a dress, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's when, because it was right when MTV and video started.
Yeah, it was all new stuff. That was a neat class, though.
Very exciting. Yeah, filmmaking was great.
Remember, that was an extreme one to start things off.
Yeah. Brother Matt, you had the Blue Shift show.
Yeah, yeah, Blue Shift, and I was a news director up there for a few years.
Right. What was your show?
My show was just, hi, I'm Mary Raven, because being born with the name Lisa and the year I was born, there were hundreds and hundreds of us, and that's why I ended up with my nickname La Lisa, because people just started, I was La Lisa, because law implies a degree of diva-esqueness, which I supposedly don't have, though other people might differ, but so now I'm known as La Lisa, or sometimes Empress, which is a little even wackier. So I went from being Mary Raven to being...
Dowager.
Yeah.
Wait a minute,
I am no dowager. I'm still a couple years younger than you. That's like shame.
So if you said Empress, Dowager, isn't that in that lineage?
No, Dowager Empress is like being the Queen Mother. Like you were once the Empress, and now you are no longer, because there's a new girl in town.
Yeah.
And it implies a degree of age and
China had the Dowager.
And so did the Austrian Empire.
Right.
So you mentioned X just a minute ago. You know, John Doe and Xene are playing the Lobster Festival this year.
Pedro.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, you posted that, yeah.
Acoustic, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah. Xene actually just released a movie called Bad Day, which was directed by Modi Frank, who did a lot of Black Flag videos. And they're doing it a really interesting way of digital downloading. You can pay whatever you want, which is, and instead of like, you want to pay a buck, you pay a buck. You want to pay $20, you pay $20. It's a great little 20-minute short, which weirdly stars Kevin Costner as the town drunk. John Doe plays the sinister preacher. It's got a soundtrack with Dave Alvin and DJ Bonebreak. Very, very cool little piece.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What kind of music did you play on your radio show?
I played a lot of new wave. I liked Adam and the Ants, Bow Wow Wow. I played early U2. I played Fairport Convention. There's a couple tunes I really like by them. The Deserter and Matty Graves are two of my favorites. And a band called Horselips from Ireland, which and unfortunately I could not find the CD for them, and they might have been a little bit more merch than you guys wanted to hear. But they took traditional Celtic folk music and turned it into rock and roll. And along with that, they brought in...
Big Country.
Traditional...
Remember them?
Well, this was very different than Big Country. They're far more prog rock. They brought in traditional folk stories, so they have a whole rock opera based on the Toyne, and another based on the Book of Invasions. Plus, one of their albums, Aliens, is about a guy who came over, he was a criminal who came over from America and toured the United States and ended up in Alaska. And they were a huge influence on me. They were the first band I actually ever toured with. I was over there in 79. I knew the guys, and they were like, well, you're no one's girlfriend, so get in the van. I was like, cool. And we were up in, right on the border in Dundalk on the 12th of July, which is an orange holiday, a Protestant holiday. But we were on the southern side, and we'd done the gig and walked over to the car, and the tour manager goes, okay, who left the car unlocked? And no one. And they, all the guys got me behind a truck, and they said, just stay here. The road manager leaned in, like, just his arm, and started to turn the, and I'm like, what's going on? And they go, it's the 12th. We're the biggest band. This was 1979. We're the biggest band in Ireland. We would be a prize. If the door's unlocked, we have to take the risk that the car is going to blow up. And I was like, what the
f-?
So nothing happened, but, I mean, they were really, really serious about this. I mean, this was not, like, just, like, a hazing for, like, the, haha, let's make fun, let's, like, tease the kid. And their hands were shaking, and everyone was smoking, even the guys who didn't. They were so wrecked. And that taught me that, you know, stuff is not always, as you saw last, you know, 2 weeks ago.
I played a club in Belfast that was shut down for a couple of years because they found the rocket grenades
wow.
in the basement.
That's, yeah, I am.
Some stuff has started up, some people there.
Yeah, it's,
Yeah, that march with the orange guys.
And yeah, so that was my first taste of touring. And
but I like playing Ireland a lot. Steve McKay's there right now playing with Estelle.
Oh.
We had a day off once 2 years ago, and this band, the Young Dublin People, took us to a studio above a horse stable, and we made an album. Like one afternoon. It's a neat place. But yeah, that's troubling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
About the radio, what was your favorite experience? What would you recommend to people in college? Should they take a radio class?
I think there's a place for radio still. Radio is a way. College radio allows you a lot more freedom than commercial radio, and one of the things it taught me was an ability to be a little more coherent and speak more fluently between songs, and also I picked up the technology stuff. I think that the technology we have today, I'm sitting here looking at you guys with like all your knobs and dials and turntables and stuff, and you can like rock it out here at home, and podcasts are an amazing way to get your message out there, and it's a great way to start.
At the end of the second hour here, Watt from Pedro Show, August 18th, 2010, hold tight for hour three. August 18th, 2010, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. We got another edition of Pinhead from Asia, segment
cool,
number
cool.
seven. Miss Pin, take it away.
Awesome.
Okay, you're listening to Pinhead from Asia segment again, episode seven, brought to you by the Watt from Pedro Show. And I'm your host, DJ Pin here from Taiwan, bringing you super strange sounds of the generation of the youth in Asia. And now for something completely different. It's an oldie song from 1967 called Night Heron, Am Guang Jia, by legendary Taiwanese folk singer Mr. Ye Ye Qi Tian.
Tun幸福才会永保存，完了用心人牺牲，子路的平安袂吞。 手踏滚，要行行袂去，点点滴也准，这是当时开的分。条条拢袂准，对准啊，准对准。风流兄弟来讨论，看伊是一手卡顿，一命真在眠无困，所以幸福袂照稳。好心人就顺，有学暗讲巧，生命去到阮。我天就地打准，天天都准对准，哎呦准对准，天天都准对准，哎呦准对准，天天都准对准，哎呦准对准。
We just heard this song called "I'm Gong Chuck," translated as "Night Tyrant." I do want a copy of its 7-inch version.Audio print, of course, and it comes with introduction and lyrics, so you can see typical Taiwanese folk song that around that time, they're usually talking about the life of gamblers and gangsters and outsiders and so forth. Slightly erotic with funny twist. Something somehow slightly reminded me of The Black Mask and Pulp Fiction and Film Noir and so forth.Okay, next we have two Taiwanese contemporary girl vocal sweet pop stuff. The first band is called The White Eyes, 白目乐团, and the second band is called 闪闪闪闪, repetition of four words is a weird name, so take it away. White Eyes and 闪闪闪闪。
I saw I was
Bloody Dream by the White Eyes by Mu Yue Tuan, and another track called Sweetie by Shan 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 Shan, repetition of four words like I said. The English translation of the band will be The Shine 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 Shine. Well, next up we have our typical routine introducing Japanese underground bands other than Boredom's Ghost, Fujijusha, Shonen Knife or any other well-known Asian experimental and avant-garde. First, I give you Sodom. The track is called Breaking Glass. Then you'll be listening to this song called Wild Child by another quirky and brilliant Japanese group called Nonband.
Game is out of color. Yeah. kick us out and fall. Kicking us out and fall.
Let's go.
looking at something completely different again. I'll give you some friendly cheesy 80s new wave stuff. Two tracks by Tajimala Hajime from his 1985 release called Taiyo Sun. The first track is called Modern Thing and the other is called XP41. Okay, a quick dose of Japanese punk style. Here is Life is a Gamble by the Genbaku Onelis. Something completely serious. Great collaboration between Peter Brosman and Shoji Hano. Yes, I'm talking about their Funny Red series. If I'm a DJ host of a different program now, like Peanut from Asia in the Bizarre World or something, I will play Zulu Time by Casper Brosman and Paige Hamilton, you know what I mean. Maybe we should do a Bizarre World episode in the future. We definitely should. Okay, the track is called Snake and Sheep by Peter Brosman and Shoji Hano.
Thank you.
back to Peter from Asia. Well, I'm a big fan of this band called Nigen Isu from Japan. Frankly, I have no idea how you can describe their music, because they are weird. You can hear the influence of doom rock and heavy metal, but they managed to add up some non-musical elements into their songs. For example, they would parodize a lot of classical Japanese cultural elements, especially their taste of grotesque literature and drama. Occasionally, some ghost tales. Now, I give you my favorite song by Nigen Isu, which is Kuroneko, Black Cat, probably referring to the Black Cat by Edgar Allan Poe. And after that, I'll give you another brilliant Nigen Isu song called Immomushi. Okay, the song is almost over. Imamushi also refers to a classic tale written by Edogawa Rampo. Imamushi means a taro bug, a bug that looks like a taro? Potato? Weird. It's actually referring to a wounded man who lost all his limbs, so he's a bug, not a man anymore. Weird stories. Kuroneko and Imamushi, both by Niken Isu, referring to old classic horror tales. Hope you enjoyed it, and I think that's a wrap for episode 7, so see you next time. Well, by the way, if you like Pinhead from Asia with its very weird song list preferring low cultural folk song from Taiwan and Japanese groups like Nan Ben and Zelda and Sodom and Jakadala Abladako, Madame Eduarda, and what else? Here's Stylistics. Well, if you prefer what I prefer, I must say you are clearly insane. And someone someday will give you some credit for that. So be patient, people. And please stay tuned, you clearly insane people. I'm DJ Pinhead. We just listened to Pinhead from Asia, episode 7. Bye-bye.
From Pedro Show. Thank you, Ms. Pin, for another edition of Pinhead from Asia, number 7 there. Brother Matt,
yeah.
Thank you for your most essential aiding and abetting. Brother Twan, thanks for coming with your insight.
Love showing up here.
Skipper Jeff,
love it.
Thanks for
Yeah.
And Elise, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, great.
For the first time
down
here.
Thank you so much.
Good to
I
see you.
For having me back. I'll even bring a burned CD of non-merch stuff next time, if you deign to have me.
Okay. It's August 18th, 2010, Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.